Good morning.
Gotta get his other folder.
Technical problems, all right. No problem.
You running Sunday?
I might be walking. If you can't run, you can walk.
Absolutely.
That's what they told me.
Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday.
Don't sweat as bad.
And you make it to the end, maybe.
I think is, we've been up here a few times for this, but the landlord has requested another extension, or excuse me, the tenant has requested another extension of the landlord, Sussex County, to maintain an office at Suite A at Cinderbury, which is Circle J Developers, another 30-day extension. They ran into some construction delays, specifically in the area of getting power to their new offices, which are next door, which put them behind schedule several weeks. So we would like to ask that, or they would like to ask, and we would like to ask the council's permission to extend the lease agreement for 30 more days.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Yep.
Be it moved, Sussex County Council approve a lease extension for a period of 30 days from October 14, 2007 to November 12, 2008, contingent upon the tenant, Circle J Developers, maintaining their account in good standing. The rent is $1,750.
I'll make a motion.
Second, gentlemen.
Second.
We move to second that we approve the lease agreement extension as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
I'm abstaining, conflict.
Okay. Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Got me worried.
That's all right now.
Good morning. I have two items on my agenda this morning. The first is in regard to a proposed private road agreement. This is something we've been kicking around for a while. As far as us administering what we refer to as our Ordinance 38 extension projects, where we work with a developer to install sewer in a private subdivision or a commercial facility. We have an agreement that we've used that's in place for many years. Kind of gives us the ability to kind of lock in with the developer's responsibilities, as well as the contractor working on the job, and also the counties. As you well know, in these last few months, state of the economy, we have had some problems as far as trying to get some of the developments that are not as marketable as others to move forward with the project. We've had certain situations, one obviously Argo's Glade, where we came in and called in the letter of credit. We have another project, the reserves, that was on for today's agenda, but we don't have all our ducks in a row. We're going to come back in a week or so. The reserves in particular has been problematic to us in that the developer hasn't been active on the project, you know, in a year and a half, 2 years. And we've tried to go through the letter writing campaign to get him to move forward, because we have a number of individuals and corporations that have purchased lots in that particular development. And they were pleading with the developer to move forward with the infrastructure improvements so they could market their homes. Unfortunately, the developer, he would, you know, give us a nod ahead, yeah, I'm going to go in there and work. We would write letters asking for, you know, him to move forward. He would either not respond or say, well, what I'm going to do it this summer. What this agreement would propose to do would do a number of things, just to kind of give us some formality of what the responsibilities are. Again, it would outline the responsibilities of the developer, his contractor, and the county, too. Also, it would provide a clear tie between the security, and that could be a bond or a letter of credit, to a particular project phase. That's another problem we've run into, is that the project's phases don't always match, for example, what Lawrence has approved in his phasing plan. When the plan has come through planning and zoning, it might reference, you know, phase one and phase two, but when it got to the actual construction, we have a lot of different phases and there's no clear tie. So this agreement would allow us to have a clear tie, refer to project XYZ phase three. And then we would have the agreement would provide a clear tie, and then the security would reference this agreement, once again providing a clear tie to the scope of work. The most important thing, however, would be it would document a schedule for completion, and that would be tied to a project schedule that the developer would provide to us and would become part of the agreement. Again, looking back to the reserves project, got a notice to proceed. He got his bonds, and he started construction. His contractor went bankrupt, and then the project just kind of stalled at that point. And you had a lot of people out there that had invested in the lots, and they're kind of left holding the bag. If we had a clear schedule for completion that was documented by this agreement, as we neared that schedule for completion and we see that there's no activities not maintaining his construction schedule, that would give us a kicker to be more proactive to pursue this. And then finally, this is another thing that comes up on a regular basis, specifying the maintenance requirements during the construction process. A lot of times we get in a situation where homes have been sold, people have moved into those homes, construction is ongoing, and then some of the other, we actually have more problems with the home builders themselves that are building the other homes versus the actual construction contractor that's building the infrastructure, but they have a tendency to come in and damage what's already been constructed. So again, it would provide, you know, a clear responsibility that the developer has to oversee his home builders and then would allow him to pass through that responsibility when they damage infrastructure that's already been constructed, whether it's pavement or curb or pipes or storm sewers.
Conservation type of stuff, right, because they always ruin the swales, you know, when they start putting in driveways and stuff.
So, again, we've tried to just model the agreement that's already been in place for the sewer projects that's been effective. But again, this is a big sea change for how we have done things. You know, we adopted this program in 1980, and this is a big sea change for how we have done things.
Do we have a copy of what we do now, Mike? I mean.
That's the problem. There is no agreement.
Well, we do something.
All we have are the pre-construction meeting minutes, you know, and they're pretty general. I could provide you a copy of those. And there are some general references to developer responsibilities in the pre-construction minutes. But
you require bonds.
We require bonds.
It seems to me that, I guess, from what I, you know, reading everything, I got a lot of questions about it, and I know we got to start somewhere, and we've tried this once before.
Maybe we
but
could.
But the date, it seems to be the biggest difficult for phasing. To if we put that somewhere that you have a drop dead, for lack of better words, this six month period we will be wrapped up, or whether it be a month period, 30 days or whatever. I guess that's a huge issue because it could go on and on.
And we agree. It's we need the ability to be flexible both ways.
Right.
Obviously, if there's no homes being constructed, then the time frame's not that critical, assuming they're maintaining erosion and sediment control. So, and that's understandable. One of my ideas, when we did the road standards, we posted this on the internet, for a period, and solicited comments. I will tell you, we met with four different developers when we compiled the language here, and I think Mr. Baker was involved in that process.
Yeah, Dave said,
so that's how we got to this particular form.
I know there's, even though we do it in-house as far as reducing the bond, you know, when they complete different phases, there's nothing. You know, even though
in this case, each phase would have its own agreement, but right. You could still have a schedule of pavement being put in place, and the value of the remaining infrastructure that could be adjusted.
Right. I mean, those are things.
I mean,
if we're putting it down in paper, I guess we should, you know, make sure all the everything's there. Of course, I know that's pretty much. Been in place, is that right? If they on 4A-04, it says that the county can
$245 a day.
$245 a day. Is that something we do now or
not? Yeah, again, that's a carryover from SOAR. I don't think we've ever charged it, but
right.
It's a legitimate point.
Right. I know it's a write-in. I always want, if we screw up, we ought to turn around plans in a certain time. If we don't, then we're just as guilty as anybody else, you know.
Well, this is after the plans are done.
This is actually a construction agreement.
Yeah, right. This doesn't have anything to do with plans.
Okay.
5A01, Mike.
Yeah.
Only registered professional engineers licensed state shall perform engineering work, and then 02, developer shall employ only registered professional land surveyors licensed with the state of Delaware. Do we do that now?
Yeah. You have to be performed. Now, you could still be a PE in Maryland, but you would also have to be licensed in Delaware. And it's a fairly simple process that if you're going to design anything in Delaware, you have to be licensed with the state of Delaware. And there's a reciprocity that if you have, if you are a PE, you live and work in Maryland, it's a fairly simple process for you to be licensed in Delaware as well. The only problem being if we allowed Maryland PEs to design things, and say they designed a bridge and the bridge fell down, the Delaware Association.
Indian River, are you talking about?
Well, could be.
Okay.
But anyway, if we allowed a Maryland PE to design something that failed, the Delaware Association of Professional Engineers would not be able to pursue that engineer because he's licensed in Maryland and not Delaware. So that's state law. Anybody who's performing engineering work in Delaware must be licensed in Delaware. You don't have to live in Delaware, but you also have to have that license. And most PEs have license in multiple states. It's a pretty common occurrence.
And you don't have to have an office in Delaware either?
No. Just as long as you're licensed.
And Mike, when you went over this with the handful of developers that were exposed to it, and what kind of responses?
Well, we worked our way through the language, and I thought it was pretty positive. Tom Baker was involved in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, again, I think it would be a good idea to put it on the internet and let some other folks' eyes see it and give us comments, much like we did the road standards.
Right.
How long do you think you'll then post this for?
We did 45 days for those. Now,
I think by bringing it out in public the first time around, it kind of died and, you know, slow death, for lack of better words. And then, you know, maybe we can schedule a meeting and, you know, bring everybody together so we can, you know, because like I said, I let a couple people look at it too. And, you know, they brought up several issues, but, you know, there's no sense beating it up here. At least we can get this thing all centered and then give you something that's a.
Yeah.
Because talking to Dave, you know, it seems like the drop-dead date is one of the biggest issues we got going here. Is that make them come to an end before you know where the end is, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, somehow, I understand it both ways. Somehow we need a hammer that if the guy just pulls up stakes and leaves,
right,
that we have something.
Right.
But on the other hand,
we do have the bond, but then it's
The problem with the bond is it just passes the responsibility on to us. For example,
right,
this reserves project, okay, we're going to call in the bond.
Don't have
well,
enough
guess
money
what?
Then.
Well, we'll have money, but we're the ones now that have to go out and hire the contractor,
right,
and put new plans together because it's, you know, maybe 30% done. We got to hire the contractor, and we got to administer the work to finish it. So that's not in anybody's best interest, certainly not ours.
There will be enough money in this bond to cover all those expenses?
I hope so.
Yeah, to me.
Hope so.
Well,
we
sat down with them and signed the agreement before, apparently, as far as construction costs and all those type things.
We had a construction estimate way back
right
when, and, you know, it was, you know, several
you
years ago.
Pick a number
ago,
out
so
of the air. Yeah. I do understand that.
But it's hard sometimes to pick up the pieces of something
sure
that's half done. It'd be easier to
absolutely
start from scratch.
I agree with you, Mike.
So we'll
right
post it on the internet, and we'll also send copies to our top 25 developers and our top 25 contractors and get some feedback.
Okay. Chip, will you also make sure it gets out there on some kind of out in the paper? Everybody kind of, okay, thanks.
Okay.
Next one.
Okay, my next item is a proposed contract amendment with Whitman Reckwart and Associates, and I have some handouts for that as well.